morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Katie Wagner. I'm the Lutheran Campus Ministry Director at UW-Stout, and the students are here ushering, greeting, PowerPoint, and helping with praise band this morning. So we invite you to say hello to them at the end of the service, and we are really excited to be here with you this morning. Welcome to any guests and visitors. We're really glad that you joined us this morning. I'll invite you now to stand as you are able as we read together our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one who fashions us, the one who heals us, the one who reforms us again and again. Amen. Let us confess our sin, calling for God's transforming power. Source of all life, we confess that we have not allowed your grace to set us free. We fear that we are not good enough. We hear your word of love freely given to us, yet we expect others to earn it. We turn the church inward rather than moving it outward. Forgive us, stir us, reform us to be a church powered by love, willing to speak for what is right, act for what is just, and seek the healing of your whole creation. Amen. God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and to empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven. God's love is unconditional. And we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll invite you now to join us in singing our gathering song, We Believe, and the words will be up on the screen for you.
We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe. Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again.
I invite you to stay standing for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel from Luke 10. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I will invite Josie to come forward at this time, and any children to come up for a children's message.
I don't know if I'm up. Yeah. Good morning. Hi, come have a seat. There's Henry. So, let's talk about our story this morning from the Gospel. There was a guy who got really hurt. He was traveling along the road, and robbers came and beat him up. Do you think he was all that happy about that?
No.
No way. I mean, he was really, really hurt. And he was laying on the side of the road. Do you think that if you found somebody sitting on the side of the road, hurt, maybe bleeding, do you think you'd help them? I think we would. I think we would. But guess what? At least 2 people went right past the person in our story. They said, "No way, we're not going to help." Right. But, I mean, in their head, they were kind of thinking, "No way. I'm not helping that guy." What would have happened if he was bleeding? He could have died. Right? And they just kept saying, "No, I have other things to do. My things are more important. Or I don't like him because..." And they had all sorts of weird reasons. Right? Maybe he didn't come from the same place that they came from. Like, if we saw somebody from Eau Claire sitting on the side of the road, they're not from Menominee. Do we let them lay there? No, we help out, don't we? Well, that is what our Samaritan, he was from a different country called Samaria, and he could have said the same thing. He could have said, you're not from my country. You're not from my city. But did he do that? No way. Did he go over and say, hey, how are you doing? He started there. Then what happened? Did you hear in the story what happened next? He bandaged him. And then what?
He put wine and oil on his wounds.
And he got him to a doctor.
To an inn.
So he took a complete stranger all the way to a doctor, and he paid for it. Wow, that's really, really helpful. Any extra. That is exactly right. So if we find somebody on the side of the road, even if they're from Eau Claire, do we help out?
Yeah,
we do. How do we help out, though? Do we just say, oh, I'm sorry to see that you're hurt. Bye. What would you do, Mackenzie?
I would say, are you okay?
Are you okay? What do you think? If you had a grown-up that had a cell phone with you, could you give somebody else a call, like 911? Yeah, we could do that. We could get an ambulance to come. We've got all sorts of fun things that we could do. And would they all be helpful to someone else? That is what Jesus calls being a good neighbor. Can you be a good neighbor? How about Ian? Can you be a good neighbor? And Sophia? And Olivia, can you be a good neighbor?
Sometimes.
Should we ask all of them?
Yeah.
Because
I found somebody on the road, and they get bombed over, and my parents say, are you okay?
Yeah. Does that happen often?
Mm-hmm. All the time.
All the time. Olivia finds people on the side of the road all the time. And you're right. Every time you find someone, you can stop and you can say, are you okay? And can I help you? Right? Excellent job, guys. Excellent. All right, let's go head back.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in truth and love. Amen. And let there be light. The Good Samaritan, a familiar parable and a moment in Jesus' teaching that I'm sure most of us have heard at least once or twice in our lives. Sometimes I think that in hearing this story, we can become complacent and think we know everything we need to know there is about the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach and what's going on in this text. The moral of the story is what? To love our enemies and our neighbor as ourselves. After all, that's what happens here. A man is traveling on a dangerous road when he's attacked by bandits, robbed, and left for dead. Two people come by who we believe should care for this man, but they don't. Then one comes by who shouldn't care, but he does. Simple enough lesson and parable, right? Well, maybe there's more to the story that we're not digging deep enough into to understand. On the one hand, there's nothing wrong with that message. God expects us to care for our neighbor, but he also asks us to see a neighbor as anyone who is in need. The first two that stop by, the Levite and the priest, do not see the man as a neighbor, but as a burden, and as something that will delay them from accomplishing whatever task or duty has put them on the road in the first place. The Samaritan, however, wherever he may be going or whatever time constraint he is on, sees this man as a person, as a child of God, and as someone who is deserving of his time and attention. So, who do we see as our neighbor? Who do we overlook? It's natural for us to look out for our family, our friends, and those that are like us first. But, like the priest and the Levite, we can tend to overlook and avoid those who are different from us. But God calls us to do more, God created us all in the image of God. That's why I think that there's more going on in this story. At the end of the parable, Jesus shifts the discussion that he has been having with the lawyer. Notice that the lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor?" That is, who am I responsible for? Who counts? Who falls into this idea of God's command to care for our neighbors? Jesus responds by telling a story that redefines neighbor not in terms of race, religion, or proximity, but in terms of vulnerability. That is, whoever is in need is your neighbor. He doesn't ask who was the Samaritan's neighbor, rather he asks who acted like a neighbor. This answer is obvious to us, the Samaritan. Suddenly the neighbor isn't simply the one in need, but rather the one who provides for our need, the one who takes care of us. This can be a new way to think about this parable. The idea of being a neighbor involves not only giving help, but also being willing to receive help, especially to and from those who we don't normally see like us or expect to help us. In this parable, we often consider ourselves and relate to this parable as if we are the Samaritan. But we also need to think of ourselves as the man in the ditch. I'm going to read this text again in a new way, and this time from the perspective of the man in the ditch. I want you all to listen and place yourself in the story. You can close your eyes if that helps you visualize, but just don't fall asleep. So neighbors that are next to each other, make sure that your neighbor is asleep when we're done with the story. You're walking along a road trying to get home after a long day. Your feet are sore. You're carrying your things because you don't have a vehicle, and it's starting to get dark. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, two people attack you. They go through your things and take what they want, leaving you on the ground in the ditch alone in the dark. Your things are scattered all around you. A while later, a person comes along on the same road that you are on. They see you wounded on the ground. They seem to want to help you, but back away and look around as if they feel like they might be attacked if they stop. So they keep walking. You lay on the ground and look at the stars, wondering when help will come and if anyone will care enough to stop and help you. A little while later, you see another person coming up on the road next to the ditch that you are in. You think to yourself, finally, another person is coming. Maybe help is finally coming and I will be saved. As the person comes closer, they don't even stop and take a look at you. It seems as though they just want to get where they're going and not be bothered by taking time to help you. As they walk away, you become discouraged and feel hopeless. Time continues to pass, and it's getting darker and colder. You feel too much pain to get up, so you continue to hope that help will come, but that hope is fleeting. In the distance, you see another person coming. You think, I'm not going to get my hopes up this time because the other two people just passed me by. But this time, the person stops and kneels down beside you. They talk to you and ask you if you are okay while gently placing a hand on your head. They gather up your things and help you to stand. They take you to their car and drive you to the emergency room where you can get help. They give you some money and food and stay a while with you to make sure that you are all right. You can see that this person cares what happens to you. You feel like you matter to someone. Take a moment now to come back out of the story. Think about how it made you feel. This experience, unfortunately, is not too far off from things that tend to happen every day in our country. This parable of the Good Samaritan can really be viewed as two separate stories. Viewed from the road, it's a story of encouragement to reach out to those who are lost and hurting, as Jesus did in his ministry, and how some of us spend our time in service to others. But this same story, when viewed from the ditch, where we've all been at some point in our life, but maybe not a physical ditch, but a time when we felt hopeless or ignored, takes on a different perspective. We could even ask ourselves this question: do we understand how God might be using someone or something we never imagined to teach us and make us new? When God decided to redeem the human race, he sent someone we were not expecting. Nor were the people of Jesus' time expecting the son of a carpenter to save the world and be the Messiah that everyone was waiting for. And just as in this parable, the Samaritan was the person who was least expected to stop and help this person in need. For the hearers of this parable in Jesus' day, no Samaritans were considered to be good Samaritans. Samaritans were viewed with suspicion. The Jews and Samaritans were always at odds. The two groups disagreed about everything that mattered: how to honor God, how to interpret scriptures, and where to worship. They practiced their faith in separate temples, read different versions of the Torah, and avoided social contact with each other whenever possible. Truth be told, they hated each other's guts. Though we are inclined to love the Good Samaritan, Jesus' choice to make him the hero of this story was nothing less than shocking for first century listeners. The Samaritan was the other, the enemy, the object of their fear, disgust, and judgment. He was the outcast. It's been said that religion is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Jesus used his stories to challenge the status quo of his day and challenge those around him to be better and to do what is right and just to all people, no matter who they are or where they come from. I imagine that Jesus, by using the Samaritan as a hero in this story, is saying to us, even if a Samaritan can act this way, certainly you who say you seek eternal life should be able to do likewise. The Samaritan showed mercy. Jesus chooses the outcast to demonstrate God's justice and God's work in the world. As we situate ourselves in this story and use it to guide how we view our neighbor and who we are in relation to our neighbor, we can take another lesson from this parable: that God often shows up where we least expect God to be. No one expected God to reveal his glory, forgiveness, mercy, and power through the cross. And no one expected or maybe even wanted God to reveal God's power through that vulnerability and suffering. But that is what happened. Perhaps the only way we can see ourselves as a Samaritan, the one called to give help and healing to those in need, is first to recognize how often we have been the traveler left to suffer. Once we encounter God's radical grace and love, we don't look at things in the same way that we used to. We are also invited to be a community that is bound together by our shared need, by an awareness of our common vulnerability, by a sense that God has worked through so many people to care for us and wants to meet our needs through others. He also invites us to look around and care for those who are also in need. Martin Luther said that we are little Christs. In our own lives and in the things that we do, others look at us to see a piece of Christ in us. When we relate to others around us with compassion, we find God's compassion surrounding us all. When we relate to others around us with love, we find God's love surrounding us all. And when we relate to others with mercy, we find God's mercy surrounding us all. God wanted us to see his love in the flesh by sending his son Jesus to live among us and preach that love to all. As we work together for peace, for justice, for love, for hope, we bring all of these working parts together. We do have our differences. We each come from a different place and bring different gifts and perspectives to this ministry we are called to. Through love, we can bring about something that matters, something that is love made flesh, and something that speaks of justice and kindness, like the Samaritan in this story. So as you leave worship today, I encourage you to remember this. Remember that you are loved by God. Remember that your neighbor is loved by God, no matter who that neighbor is or what they have done. You matter to God, and you matter here. Forgiveness matters here. Grace matters here. Hope matters here. Love matters here. We matter here. For all of this, we can say thanks be to God. Amen. I'll invite the band to come back forward, and you can remain seated as we sing our next song, Lord, I Need You. Make us worthy, Lord, to serve our fellow human beings throughout the world who live and die in poverty and hunger. Give them through our hands this day their daily bread, and by our understanding love, give them peace and joy. Amen. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord,
union.
Where there is doubt,
faith.
Where there is despair,
hope.
Where there is darkness,
light.
Where there is sadness,
joy.
Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand,
to be loved as to love.
Lord, we pray for those who are hurting and those who need our prayers today, both those we name aloud and those we name silently in our hearts. We pray for Tom, Lisa, Sue, Gary, Dale, Don, Ann, Kathy, Lexin, Gordon, Carol, Christy, Michael and family, Mildred, Sean, Otto, Libby, Owen, Sam, the family of Pete and the family of Hazel. We ask you to be with them now and with those in our hearts. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. The peace of the Lord is with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of greeting with your neighbor.
Oh my gosh, your hands are freezing.
Peace. Peace. So I want you guys to just start the offertory because I'm gonna have to like put it up front. So you guys just go. Yep. You may be seated, and at this time we will receive our offering. You to stand as you are able and join in singing our offertory.
We are travelers on the road. We
pray. God of all creation, you have made, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
And now receive the benediction. May you know the love of God. May you experience the grace of Jesus. May you find community through the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll invite you to stay standing as we sing our sending song, Build Your Kingdom Here.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come and made us our streets. kingdom here, we pray.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.